This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. The book Girls Who Dared to Dream features heroic tales from girls around the world who didn't give up on their dreams even when everything seemed against them. So this book was released as part of international humanitarian organization World Vision's 1,000 Girls campaign, which aims to empower 1,000 girls to live free of fear and achieve their dreams. And the book features stories of 10 girls who dreamed big, thought differently, and who were change makers in their own big and small way. So today on the show, I'll be speaking to two of the girls featured in the book. Firstly, Addison from the US, who successfully raised more than $130,000 to install clean water pumps in Kenya. And then I'll be speaking to Aki from Bangladesh, who started her own sewing business and became a community hero during the pandemic. But more on Aki later. But first, I have Addison joining me. So when Addison was 7 years old, she decided to run a half marathon after she heard about a 9-year-old girl in Kenya called Maureen. And in Kenya and in many other countries around the world, girls like Maureen have to walk an average of 6 kilometers a day to fetch water for their families to drink. It's a long and potentially dangerous walk, and it can sometimes mean that these girls miss hours of school, homework, and playtime every day. So how did this then 7-year-old take action? Well, she's joining me now to share her story. Welcome, Addison. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well. I understand it's Thanksgiving Eve as I'm speaking to you now, yeah?
Yeah.
So you must be really busy with family. And Addison, of course, you're from the US. And, you know, just getting straight to your story, you decided to run half a marathon after hearing about a 9-year-old girl in Kenya called Maureen, right? Can you tell me that story? You know, how did you hear about her? Why did Maureen's story impact you so much? You know, what was it about it, her story, that impacted you?
Yeah, in 2016, with Team World Vision, I met Maureen, and through the Kansas City Half Marathon and Marathon, and we met, and she really inspired me by sharing her story and how other kids have to go through, like, walking to go get dirty water.
Mm-hmm. And what made you decide that you had to be the one to help her raise money, you know, for that water crisis that's happening in Kenya?
A lot of people were fundraising and helping, providing clean water, but I wanted to do my part as much as I could and raise money and help kids.
Okay, that's excellent. And I guess, you know, for those who maybe aren't quite familiar, you know, why is it so important for us to have access to clean water?
Water is life. Water can be used for drinking, for sanitation, for cooking, and it can also be used for hygiene, and it relieves the pressure of having to go do like a water walk every morning for the children, and they can go to school and get education instead.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we take it for granted, isn't it? We just switch on a tap and the water is there. We never think about, you know, it's so hard for us to imagine, you know, the trouble some people have to go to just to get some water in the morning, isn't it?
Yeah. Whenever I was 7, all I could think about was, like, they didn't just go to their refrigerator and get water.
Yeah.
Like, they had to walk to get it, and it wasn't even clean. So it was hard for me to understand when I was just a young little girl.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, I mean, it's wonderful that, you know, you learned about it at such a young age, and it helped you sort of, like, you know, make sense of the world around you. Right. And you understand, you know, that there's so many others, you know, in desperate need. And I mean, that's also, I mean, why you also did the marathon. But when did you actually start running? You know, have you always liked it? Is that something that you were always keen on?
Yeah, so I've really been running my whole life. I did my first 5K at the age of 3, and I really do love running. It's like my life. I do it almost every day, and I just enjoy having memories of running.
That's amazing. Since you were 3, you did your first 5K when you were 3. I can barely do it at 39. Well done to you.
Thank you.
And how did your parents feel about your mission to run marathons in order to raise funds? You know, were they supportive of it?
Yeah, whenever I told them, they kind of thought I was crazy as the age of 7 saying I wanted to raise money and run half marathon. But they were very supportive along the way.
Okay. All right. And how did they support you? You know, I mean, did they just sort of, like, you know, whatever you needed, they were there for you to as backup and to support? How would you describe the way they supported you?
Yeah, every day they just reminded me that I can dream whatever I want to, that I can dream big. And my dad also helped me get in the training for the half marathon by running with me and helping me get in shape.
Oh, what an awesome dad. All right, lucky you. And what was fundraising like at the time? I mean, you were 7 years old, right? How did you go about even trying to do it? You know, what was it like?
Yeah. So when I was young, I like made bracelets and then sold them. And then I also asked for money and donations instead of Christmas and birthday gifts. And then we've done the water walk, which was walking around our neighborhood and asking for donations.
Oh, that's awesome. I really need to make my 6-year-old listen to you today. And how about now? You know, what does your fundraising activities look like today?
Yeah, it's a lot of the same, just like sharing with people and inviting people into my story and really just telling them about what kids have to go through.
Mm-hmm. And are they quite receptive to that story? Are they interested to hear more? Are they shocked at, you know, what you're sharing about, you know, what's happening across the world?
Yes, there's a lot of people who are surprised and are really interested and want to help fundraise for this cause.
Okay. All right. And, you know, you've been doing this for many years now. So until now, how many marathons would you say you've participated in?
I have done 4 half marathons in my lifetime.
That is amazing. And how does it feel to know that you've successfully provided clean water to over 3,300 kids in Africa?
It makes me proud, but more importantly, I'm just so thankful that those many kids have access to clean water now, and they have access to life, and they don't have to be worried about waking up early to go get dirty water, or they can now have clean water in their life and in their like home life.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, just going back to the person who sort of started it all for you, Maureen, right? So you met her and you were reunited with her a few years later. Tell me a little bit about that, you know, your first meeting with her and also how it was like to be reunited a few years later.
Yeah, whenever I first met her, I was kind of sad about saying goodbye because we became great friends instantly. And I was also worried that I would never see her again because of the distance from where I live to where she lives. Mm-hmm. And whenever we reunited, I was so happy and glad and just embraced her and hugged her. And I was so glad that I could see her again and we were talking. And it was just so amazing. And I just had a great time with her.
Mm-hmm. And maybe you can tell me a little bit about Maureen. You know, what is she like? What does she do? What are her sort of interests, as far as you know?
So whenever I went to Africa, she liked playing football, which was soccer. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she likes hanging out with her friends. And she really likes bananas, too.
Okay, so she's just like any other teenager that we know, yeah?
Yeah.
And how about you? You know, what's next for you? Do you have any other marathons lined up in the near future? What's happening?
So I'm not running any more half marathons for a while, but I'm doing cross country and track, and I'm really involved with those sports. But with that, my whole purpose behind running is still for the kids.
Oh, that's awesome. And you know, what would your ultimate dream be? You know, I mean, do you have sort of plans for the future? What are your hopes for the future?
My ultimate dreams and goals are to see every kid have clean water in my lifetime.
Okay, excellent. I mean, that is something that we're all fighting for, right? Clean and equal access to water. You know, water as a human right, as a basic human need, right for every single person. What would you have to say to people who will try to tell you, and I hope nobody has done this, but, you know, if anyone has, you know, that you're too young to fight for change?
I would just say that you're never too young and you can always make a difference because age doesn't matter. You will have the choice to become an inspiration for people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And do you have any advice for maybe other young girls who want to make a change in the world? You know, any sort of advice for them?
Follow your dreams and don't let anybody stop you because you're capable of anything.
Definitely. And if anyone's interested to sort of contribute, you know, for a donation or whatever, is there some place that they can go if they'd like to do that?
They can go to www.teamworldvision.org/participant/Addison Moffitt.
Okay, excellent. Well, thank you so much, Addison, for joining me today, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Thank you. You too.
That was Addison joining me all the way from the US and sharing her story of how she raised funds for other less fortunate girls in her own big and small ways. So Addison is one of the 10 girls featured in the book Girls Who Dared to Dream, which you can download for free from worldvision.com.my. More info on that later. But don't go anywhere. When we come back from this quick break, I'll be speaking to Aki from Bangladesh, who became a real-life hero making masks for her community during the pandemic. And she even won an award from the UN for keeping people safe from COVID-19 thanks to her masks. We'll have her story after this quick break. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs. Today, I'm speaking to young change makers who are doing their part to help others in whatever way that they can. So before the break, I spoke to Addison from the US, who ran marathons and made bracelets and did all sorts of other things to raise funds to ensure other girls in other parts of the world had access to clean water. So next, I will be joined by 17-year-old Aki from Bangladesh. Aki was forced to leave school at an early age to help support her family. But she then, you know, despite the odds, decided to become a business owner with dreams of owning her own garment factory. So during the pandemic, she even helped sew and provide face masks to members of her community to help keep them safe from the virus. And, you know, thanks to all her efforts, she was even recognized with an award from the UN. So Aki, together with her translator, George, join me now to share her story. So welcome, both of you. Thank you so much for joining me. And so George is going to be translating for Aki today. And let's find out more about you, Aki. So, you know, in the book, you are, of course, named a real life hero that not only wears masks, but makes them as well. So before we explore the story of how you got to where you are right now, let's take a trip back to where it all began. Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself, your family, and what it was like growing up in your hometown in Bangladesh?
My name is Aki. I live in a village in Khulna, Bangladesh. I live with my parents and a sister and a brother. Thank you so much.
Okay, it's so lovely to have you. So you're joining us all the way from Bangladesh. And I'm sorry to bring up, you know, these difficult things, but I do know that your father experienced a bad accident, and this was in the shrimp factory where he worked. Am I correct? And this sort of, you know, stopped him from being able to work altogether, and that, of course, affected you guys financially. Can you share what those challenges were that you and your family faced because of this unfortunate situation?
আমি স্কুলে যেতে পারিনি, আমার আমাদের পড়াশোনা খরচ দিতে পারিনি, আমাদের আর্থিক অবস্থা অনেক খারাপ ছিল, আমরা খেতে পারতাম না.
Yeah, thank you. Let me translate it. So I was not able to attend school, and my parents were not able to pay for my schooling fees. So we were facing a financial crisis. So we could not have three meals a day. So my dad could not work, and my mom worked hard to buy medicine for my dad. And also they were struggling to pay for my schooling fees. So we were not able to attend school then.
And I'm really sorry to hear that, Aki. I mean, it must have been really quite awful to have to give up schooling like that. But I know that's when you and your older sister and mother decided to work at the shrimp factory, right? So that you could feed the family. How old were you and your sister when the both of you were made to work at the factory?
আমার বয়স ছিল 14, আমার আপুর বয়স ছিল 18, আমার আম্মুর বয়স ছিল 39.
So when we three were working in a shrimp factory, I was 14 years old, my elder sister was 18 years old, and my mom was 39 years old.
Okay, all right. And, you know, in the book, it does mention, you know, how chemicals there and labor of working out, of all those long working hours, right, affected you physically. That's something you spoke about. Did you experience, or are you now experiencing, health issues because of that, you know? And was it the same for your sister and your mother?
When I worked in the shrimp factory, so they used some chemical objects like bleaching powder. Mm-hmm. So that caused my appetite gone, and I was feeling dizzy, and then I was feeling vomiting.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. And are you still experiencing those health issues even today?
No, at present, I don't have these issues now.
Okay, all right. And what about your mother and your sister? Did they also go through the same thing?
Yeah.
She's saying that it was the bleaching was very toxic, very pungent smell. So every day we had this smell in our body, and our hands and feet were getting scarred, getting infected due to the bleaching powder.
Okay, I'm so sorry to hear that. And, you know, even despite all that hard work and all those long hours, you and your family still struggle to be financially able to eat just three full meals a day, right? Something all of us take for granted. What did you guys do to overcome this struggle?
আমরা সবাই মিলে মাস কোম্পানিতে কাজ করি আম্মু আব্বু আম্মু আফা আমি আব্বু কাজ করতে পারে না
as my dad became sick and he was not able to work, so my mom, my sister and I decided to continue to work in shrimp factory so that we can earn money and we can have food for our family.
Okay. All right. So you continue to work. And of course, the aftermath of that, of your working for the sake of your family, is that you stopped receiving formal education for 3 years, right? But you did decide that this wasn't going to be the story for you, your fate forever, right? And you had bigger dreams that went beyond the shrimp factory, and you decided to join a community center that held school catch-up classes. Am I correct? Could you tell me a little bit about these classes and what happened after you joined them?
আমি লাইভ স্কিন বেস ট্রেনিং পেয়েছি জীবন দক্ষতা বিষয়ে জীবন দক্ষতা
সো আই ওয়াজ এবল টু রিসিভ লাইভ স্কিল বেসড এডুকেশন আই হ্যাভ লার্নড লাইভ স্কিল ফ্রম দ্যাট সেশন এন্ড আই হ্যাভ লার্নড দ্যাট আওয়ার লাইফ ইজ ভেরি প্রেশাস ভেরি ইনভ্যালুয়েবল ইন দ্যাট সেশন আই হ্যাভ অলসো লার্নড হাউ টু থিঙ্ক অর্গানাইজডলি এন্ড অলসো আই লার্নড how to survive and control our emotions. And I have also learned some health and hygiene education, like how to maintain personal hygiene and how to keep cleanliness. So such as I keep my health clean, I wash, I take bath, and I also brush teeth. All these things I learned from that session.
Okay, all right. And I do understand that some schools rejected you because you were quote-unquote too old. How did that make you feel? Was that quite a disappointment to you?
তখন আমার খুব খারাপ লেগেছিল আমাকে স্কুলে ভর্তি নেয়নি আমি খুব সবাই স্কুলে যেতে পারে স্কুলে
So I felt very bad because the school refused me to admit in their school. So I felt very bad. And I felt that all the children, they are able to go to school, but I could not go. So that was a very terrible experience for me, terrible feeling for me.
Okay. I'm so sorry. Yeah, I can't imagine, being told you're too old to to receive education. You should never be too old to learn, isn't it? What about your older sister? Did she manage to complete her formal education?
Na, tinio amar moto 5 porjonto porar pore ar porashona korte parini.
Not exactly, because my elder sister, she also was dropped out from school after completing her fifth grade, primary school grade, and then she engaged at work.
Okay. All right. But, you know, despite all of the challenges, you did persevere and you decided to venture into something else that would help you and your family, isn't it? And your financial situation. This is where you decided to become a business owner and you started a tailoring business from home. This helped put food on the table for everyone in your family. Can you tell me how you made this decision and how, you know, the tailoring business all began?
পড়াশোনা করতে পারিনি তার জন্য আমার কিছু তো আমাকে করতে হবে আমি চিন্তা করেছি যে আমি মেশিনের কাজ করব
সো when I was not able to admit in school so I thought that I must do something so then I decided to take vocational training so from that training World Vision they provided me training and after training they provided me with a sewing machine and some fabric and with that material I started this small shop at home and it was a great joy starting a business at home.
Okay, and how was that like, you know, for you starting a business at home? What sort of were there any challenges that you faced maybe from your family members or your community, you know, I mean any challenges at all actually?
বাড়িতে যে মেশিনের শব্দ হলে আপু ঘুম পড়তে পারতো না তারপরে আশেপাশে
ইয়েস আই ফেস সাম প্রবলেম সো এট হোম ওয়েন আই ওয়াজ রানিং দ্য মেশিন মাই এল্ডার সিস্টার মে বি শি ওয়াজ টেকিং রেস্ট অ্যান্ড শি ওয়াজ নট ফিলিং গুড বিকজ অফ দ্য সাউন্ড অফ দ্য মেশিন অ্যান্ড অলসো ওয়েন আই স্টার্টেড দ্য tailoring business at home, my business was not running so well because if you start a business in a marketplace, it will run better. But at home, it will run not so better. So from my community, I received not so much order because it was the starting initial stage of my business. So I was not receiving many orders. In that case, my mom and my elder sister, they continue to work in shrimp factory.
Okay. All right. And because that wasn't enough. All right. I understand. And of course, when COVID-19 hit, I mean, when the pandemic struck, right, your sister and mother couldn't work in the factory anymore. You couldn't keep the store open either. So you decided to look into something else that would help sustain the family, right? Which is when you started making and selling masks to the people in your community. Can you tell me about why you chose to make masks and sell them? And yeah, tell me about that.
লকডাউন দেওয়ার পরে তারপরে কেউ বাসা থেকে বেরোতে পারতো না, শিশুরা খেলতে পারতো না, বাচ্চারা.
So when the lockdown was, there was lockdown and people were stuck at home, government suggested that the people, they must use face mask whenever they go outside home. So in that situation, I found that the mask was not available in the community and it was quite expensive for people to buy. It was 30 taka in Bangladeshi currency. That would be 0.4 US dollar, oh. 0.40, yeah, 40 cents, yeah. So in that case, I decided to make face mask of fabric and then sell it. And if the community people, they want to buy, then I give them in 10 taka. That is one third percent of the local price, no?
Okay, it is cost, yeah.
At market, it is 30 and she was selling in at 10 taka. So in that case, people came and bought a mask from Aki. And also whenever the poor people, they didn't have money to buy mask, she decided to give them free. Mm. And it was a great initiative, yeah.
Okay, that's so lovely of you, Aki, to do that. Because, of course, the pandemic affected your community as well, right? I mean, there was loss of jobs. How were your community affected by the pandemic? What were some of the issues that they faced, you know, besides not being able to just afford the masks?
So the community people who never used masks, they became sick. they get infected, and some community people, they also, they died of COVID in my community. And whenever they could not work, so they were facing a food crisis at home. And also the children, they could not go to school.
Okay. So deeply, deeply impacted your community then. But of course, you know, you did try and do your part with the masks, and you know, your efforts were recognized actually and awarded by the United Nations for keeping people safe from COVID-19, you know, thanks to the masks that you made. What was that whole experience like for you and for your family?
I never imagined that the UN will pay me this honor. So I was amazed to hear this news.
It's wonderful. You know, you deserve that recognition and congratulations, you know, for, I mean, you know, it's a small thing. You did it without expecting any sort of recognition, but, you know, I'm glad that that recognition came for you.
Thank you.
Just coming back to today though, Aki, are you still running your face mask business at home? Is there something different that you're thinking of or that you want to work on moving forward?
জি আমি মুখোশ বানাচ্ছি এবং আমার স্বপ্ন আমি গার্মেন্টস ফ্যাক্টরির মালিক হব এবং আমার মতন ঝরে পড়া শিশুদের নিয়ে
Yes, I've been still making mask at home. And also, I have a dream to start my own garment factory, so that I can establish in my life, and also I can create access for youth like me, so that they can have work opportunity here.
That's wonderful. You know, I think that's a great idea, you know, also supporting your community, not just yourself, but, you know, you're also thinking of your community. That's a wonderful idea. And I hope that, you know, that becomes a reality. Before I let you go, Aki, you know, is there any last message perhaps that you'd like to leave with all of us here in Malaysia? Perhaps, you know, especially to youths out there who may feel like they're struggling and, you know, things are very difficult. But, you know, what are some messages that you'd like to leave for them?
আমি বলতে চাই মালয়েশিয়ার যুবক যুবতীদের তার জীবনটা কিন্তু অনেক বড়
আই উড লাইক টু টেল দা ইয়ুথ অফ মালয়েশিয়া দ্যাট আওয়ার লাইফ ইজ ভেরি প্রেশাস দে মাস্ট প্ল্যান দে মাস্ট প্রিপেয়ার ফর দেয়ার লাইফ অ্যান্ড দে মাস্ট প্ল্যান ফর দেয়ার ফিউচার অ্যান্ড সো দ্যাট দেয়ার লাইফ উইল বি অর্গানাইজড দে মাস্ট ডু সামথিং ফর আদার্স টু হেল্প আদার্স দে মাস্ট ডু সামথিং So if they plan their life, they take preparation, then they will be successful like me. So my life has changed because recently I received a gift from our prime minister. That is a piece of land, and from government, they built a new house for us. And also I received a gift from my local member of parliament. He's the highest official here. So he donated me garment heavy duty machines so that I can start my garment factory. So it is already, it is ready already, waiting for go. And then government is building a new garment house for Aki so that she can start her garment factory there. It is nearby their residence now. So they are so happy, so happy.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing. Congratulations. I'm so happy to hear that. So you're on your way. It's all set out now and it's just a matter of getting it started.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with me today, Aki. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure speaking with you today.
Thank you so much.
That was Aki, a 17-year-old from Bangladesh, together with George from World Vision, who was so kind to help us translate Aki's answers into English. And Aki is of course, one of the 10 girls featured in the book Girls Who Dared to Dream, which was produced by the international humanitarian organization World Vision and is part of their 1,000 Girls campaign, which aims to empower 1,000 girls to live free of fear and achieve their dreams. If you'd like a copy of that book and to read all of the other stories of bravery featuring the other 8 girls, you can download a free e-copy at worldvision.com.my/sponsor-1000. That's the number 1000. Girls. So you can find out more about how you can sponsor a child on the World Vision website as well. And if you miss any part of today's interview or any previous Live and Learn interviews, you can search for the podcasts at bfm.my/learn, or you can find it on the BFM app. This has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.